I again greet you in Jesus' name this evening. I appreciated that devotions. And I'm not that old. I remember what it's like. There's temptations we face, there's things that we face, but we have choices to make. He talked about some very practical things that probably everyone in this room faces. And what do you actually believe? It's a lot of good challenges. Well, this evening, our topic is contributing to the church and congregational life. And as I thought about this topic, I pondered this for quite some time because I wasn't exactly sure where all to go with it. And as I pondered it, I found it kind of an interesting topic, because there are many churches that see what they can do just to try to keep youth and gather youth in. There are, these congregations will put on youth programs, they have youth pastors, they have to have a contemporary service, they have to have Bible camps, they have to do all these things to try to attract the youth of the world and to keep the youth. And it almost seems to me like all those things could be a burden to a congregation. I don't know. I'm not talking from experience, but it almost seems like it could be. And it seems like they could almost get burned out. But tonight we are talking about how you as youth can contribute to the congregation, to the church and congregational life, instead of youth taking from and drawing from a congregation, you're putting something into it. So what does congregational life mean to you? What is congregational life? And it would be interesting to hear what you would view as good or bad congregational life. Some of you may enjoy congregational life that you're a part of. Maybe some of you don't enjoy the congregational life that you're a part of. And I feel that we had very good congregational life at Sharksville, and I feel that we have a very good congregational life at Tyrone as well. And having an enjoyable congregational life is a blessing. And it's kind of a congregational life is a big package that includes a lot of different things. There are some things that affect, there are many things that affect congregational life that you as an individual can do nothing about. But there's many things that you can do something about. The things that you cannot do something about is the size of the congregation, the personalities of the people, your leadership. I think, yes, your leadership does have a lot to do with congregational life. We want to look at some of the things that you as an individual can do to contribute to your church and congregational life. Congregational life is an important part of practical church life. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. We talked several times how we have this chart over here. We have the earth and we have the kingdom of Satan. Satan is the prince of this world. And there's the majority of the people are serving Satan, are part of the kingdom of Satan. But throughout that, Satan's kingdom is these groups of people that worship God, that are a part of the kingdom of God. And that is the church today. The people that are serving the living God, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's made up of all those that have been born again. And it is biblical that the church at large gather together in geographically located areas, or groups, I should say. Many of the ordinances and the principles that are taught in the Bible relate to congregational life, working together. It is also practical that the church at large gather together in geographically located groups. You read the Bible, you read in history, anytime that the word goes forth into Satan's kingdom, And people begin to believe, what is their tendency? They begin to gather together in groups. And they worship together. It is good for us to step back and view our involvement, your personal involvement in your congregational life, in light of kingdom-focused living. The time and energy that I put into my congregation is time and energy spent for the kingdom of God. The investment that we make today in the kingdom of God makes a difference in eternity. And suddenly, when we step back and we look at our involvement in congregational life in light of kingdom-focused living, we have to make a decision between working late versus going to prayer meeting or to Bible school. It's a decision between the two kingdoms. And when I have to make a decision between a volleyball game or helping someone in the church, it becomes a decision of which kingdom I want to invest in. There are some biblical principles that guide us in our congregational life, and we want to look at these principles and see how this can apply to you as youth today. Number one, to contribute to the church and congregational life, your heart must be in your church. It's hard to be involved in something if your heart is not in it. Our desire and our heart to contribute to the church and congregational life will only be as strong as our attitude and our view of the church. Were you ever on a committee or were you ever part of something? Maybe it was a church project. Maybe it was a youth function. And the decision was made to do something a certain way, and you thought it was the most ridiculous way to do something. It's hard to put your heart into it when you despise the way something is being done. A high view or an elevated view of church will make contributing to the congregation a privilege and a calling. It brings into focus certain character qualities such as love, faithfulness, humility, unity, and the list can go on. And we need to view the church as our authority. We need to view the church as our family. We need to view the church as a place of security, a place of uplifting and encouragement. And it needs to have a place of high value in our lives. And if it doesn't, then it's going to be hard to contribute to the church. And just the opposite, a low view of the church brings a high level of individuality and independence. So how do you view the church? Do you view it as just a social club? A tradition? Something that you just always done since you were little on up? Something that owes you something? John F. Kennedy said this famous quote, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And we can apply that to the church. Ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. If you look down on what the church stands for, even in application, it's a low view of the church. We don't view it as an authority. When we despise what a group stands for, When we despise the practice of a group, when we despise in Pilgrim we had the decrees for to keep, when we despise what that group stands for, we begin to despise the group itself. Now I do want to talk a little bit about there's a difference between not being in full agreement versus despising it. And I know youth especially can struggle with some standards, say, yeah, but these things do not make sense to me. I just don't understand, why do we have to do this? And there's a difference between that versus despising something. And if I would sit down and write our little booklet with the decrees in, it would probably read a little bit different than what it does now if it was all up to me. But you know what? I love my church. I love the church that I, and I want to support the church. And I can overlook some things that maybe I would do a little differently. Things that I would practice differently if it was totally up to me. But if I would begin to despise our decrees, it would soon affect my relationship with the church, with my congregation, and my desire to contribute to congregational life. It affects us. And so we need to view these things in light of kingdom-focused living. You know, many of the things that we look at today seem very big to us. But they will look small to us in eternity. And I remember as a youth, there was rules, church rules that I chafed under. And they looked so big to me. But you know what? Now they don't look as big. The other night, Brother Philip talked about what we focus on. And that makes a difference. Many of these things, like I said, many of these things, especially as youth, look like big issues to us today, but they look small in eternity. And when we are no longer comparing what the church requires of me to the kingdom of this world, like I said, like we talked about before, we so often focus on the line between the two kingdoms. And our focus is so narrow. And we focus on that line between those two kingdoms and what is part of what. And those things look so big to us. But if we just step back and we look at the big picture, and we have a focus that is broader and is kingdom focused, and suddenly those things begin to disappear. And there's not as big of a deal to us anymore. There comes a time in life where we all have to decide what church we can support. We ask ourselves if we can support the church that we have been raised in. And it's a decision that should not be made lightly. It's a decision that needs to be taken seriously. We need to make sure that our motives are right in making those decisions. And I want to tell you something. It's a decision, especially as youth, that you should be very, very slow to make without talking to your ministry, without talking to your parents. And I want to say something else, that we should never make that move because we despise what our church stands for.
Amen.
Because you know what? If you make that move, it's only a matter of time till you would despise what that church stands for, the church that you're going to. And many times we feel the way we do because we are selfish and carnal reasons. And so the first point, like I said, to contribute to the church and congregational life, our heart needs to be in the church. We need to apply our heart. We shouldn't be focusing on that line, but step back and look at church life in the focus of kingdom living. Number two, to contribute to the church and congregational life, youth need to energetically submit to the church. Now, what do I mean by energetically submitting to the church? Youth are very ambitious. Young married couples, and I still include myself in that. We have more energy than some of the older ones. And we have great plans. We have great aspirations. We have good ideas. We think anyway. And we say, look, here's an opportunity. Here's a service opportunity. Or here's an opportunity that we as a congregation should be a part of. Let's go do this. And we want to make things happen. It seems like things just aren't happening fast enough. And those aspirations are good. Those plans are good. It's a very good thing. But it needs to be coupled with the steadiness and the wisdom of the elders. And we need to always remember that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Youth need to submit to the congregation. The younger, those of us that are younger, need to submit to those that are older. We need to submit to the elders. It also makes that very clear, and also says that everyone be subject one to another. The entire church, it takes submission. That's what makes good congregational life, when there is humbleness, when there is submission. And I want to tell you what, when there is a decision that is made in business meeting, sometimes it's a little pill to submit to it. Summer Bible school, I think, is one that is probably every church has its battle. 1 week, 2 weeks, let's split it, let's go 7 nights. And we battle that thing out. And I still remember at our congregation as we were starting, I'm not going to give the whole story, but I still remember we had to make that decision. So we tried it for 1 week. We tried it for 2 weeks. And then we had to come to a final decision. What are we going to do? And I remember there were some people that were strongly thought it should be 1 week, and some strongly thought it should be 2 weeks. And finally, we just weren't getting anywhere. Finally, we said, okay, I forget how it went, but we took a vote. It didn't carry, and finally, we said, okay, we're just going to do a majority vote, and we're going to take a vote, and majority carries. So we did it, and it carried to heaven for 2 weeks. And you know what? I didn't hear one bit of complaining about it. And I know there are people that were strongly, strongly desired to be 1 week, but they submitted. They submitted to the voice of the church. And sometimes we as younger ones, we as youth, don't always think the church is doing what we should do. We sit in business meeting and why can't they see this? And it gets turned down. And do we talk about it? Do we chafe underneath that? Or do we submit to it? When you have the energy of youth coupled with submission, it is a great contribution to the church. Along with submission is humility. Clothed with humility. Verse 6, we didn't read that yet. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We are to be clothed with humility. Our thoughts, our actions, our behavior, our attitudes should be surrounded by humility. Humility should filter what we do. It should filter our motives. It should filter what we say. It should filter everything. Humility. But you know what? To humbly submit, it takes a dying to self. Some of you may know the name George Mueller. He was an evangelist, and he was also a director of an orphanage in the 1800s. And I just have a quote I like to read about him. It says, "To one who asked him the secret of his service, George Mueller said, 'There was a day when I died, utterly died.' And as he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the word, to the world, its approval or censure." He died to those things. And you know what? That man was a great man. He was used immensely, because he died to self. He gave those things up. We need to willingly lay down our ideas and our ideals and humbly submit to the congregation if we want to contribute to the congregation. Number 3, to contribute to the church and congregational life, youth need to own their congregation. What do I mean by owning the congregation? You need to feel that you are a part of the congregation, that you are needed, that you're wanted. I think sometimes, especially in larger churches, youth can feel kind of distanced from the older people. And it's important that you intermingle and sometimes youth feel like older ones make the congregations and you don't really fit in. And you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing. And you feel like you're not really needed in a congregation. But you know what? Congregations need youth. They need you. And there are practical ways that you can own your congregation as a youth. You can take responsibility, pitch in and help. There's different ways that you can own the congregation. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Youth can contribute to congregational life by willingly take responsibility. It is good to lead songs, devotions, have devotions, teach the youth class, do things, whatever is an opportunity to do, do it. When you're asked to do something, be willing to do it. And I know that there's a fear that probably all of us have to overcome at first. And I still remember, I was probably around 16 years old when my youth went to Elm Street. And I think I was around 16. I felt like I was too young to teach Sunday school, teach the youth class. But there was an older single man that still goes there and is still older and single. And that he asked me, encouraged me to teach the youth class. And so I did. And I was nervous. And I still remember that first time standing up there teaching. And I was never so nervous in my life, I don't think. After a while, my head started spinning and I couldn't read my notes. And finally, I had to walk out in the middle of Sunday school class. And I went out to the bathroom and unloaded my supper. I would have never thought I was going to be a preacher one day. But you know what? We need to be willing to face those things. Be willing to be used. Those things can scare us. Those things can keep us from contributing to congregational life, from taking part and taking ownership of the congregation. But we need to try again. And with God's help and His grace, we can overcome those things. Because our willingness to take responsibility will be a contribution to congregational life. You as young ladies can help out in many different ways as well. Teaching the children's Sunday school, summer Bible school, tract distribution, whatever. There's many opportunities that you as well can contribute to the church and congregational life. Be willing to step out and be used. Youth can contribute to congregational life by being active in church decisions and planning. There's campaigns out there that say, your vote matters. We need your vote. Every vote makes a difference. And you know what? The church needs your vote. Be involved in business meeting. It's business meeting. I'm going to work late. I'm going to work on my truck tonight or whatever. No, be involved. Be there. Own your congregation. Take responsibility. It is good for youth to become involved in making decisions of the church. It is good for the young to hear the older ones' hearts. And it's good for the older ones to hear the ambition of the younger ones. Sometimes youth can bring a fresh perspective on things. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, youth can contribute to congregational life by looking on the things of others. Philippians chapter 2, let's read the first four verses. And the verse we want to focus on is verse 4, but let's read the first four verses. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It is easy for all of us, maybe more so for youth, to focus on our own things, our own agenda, our own plans, our own whatever you have going on. But this verse, here in verse 4, tells us that we shouldn't only be watching out for ourselves, but we are responsible for our brother and our sisters. You remember what the two greatest commandments are. Number one is to love God with all of our hearts. And number two is to love others as yourself. How do we practically, in a practical way, look on the things of others? What does that mean? Is it just a good Bible verse here? What does it mean to us? Well, I think, first of all, we need to show interest in their spiritual health. Care about them. Now, I remember growing up, and this doesn't have to, I mean, I'm talking about peers. I'm talking about caring about each other's spiritual lives. And I remember growing up as a youth, there was a very good friend of mine, that's still a good friend of mine, that would help me through my struggles. And he would ask me, we would meet after church or wherever, he would say, "Hey, how's it going, Jason?" "Oh, it's going good," you know, normal answer. "Ah, good, you know, it's..." "Well, how's it really going?" he would say. And then I knew I had to be truthful. I had to answer him. He was looking on the things of others. He cared about my spiritual life. And he was a blessing to me. Are you too proud to do that? Are you too ashamed to do that to your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ? How much do you care about them? Be accountable to each other. You know what? Too many times we are just on the surface. We don't actually get deep and ask each other about things that really matter. Too many times we talk about the latest album that came out. We talk about whatever. Whatever's on your mind. But when we are living with a kingdom focus, those guns, those purses, those whatever all aren't as big of a deal to us. And that's not the first thing that we talk about, but we go deeper. And my spiritual life and your spiritual life matters more. We can look for ways to bear one another's burden. This is also part of looking on the things of others. Turn to Galatians, a few pages forward. Galatians chapter 6 talks about this. Let's read the first two verses. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And again, we're talking about in a spiritual way. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to help each other. But you know what? There's many other ways that we can bear one another's burden. We already talked about the spiritual aspect of it. But we can literally help to bear one another's burdens. And I want to encourage you to do that. This is all part of owning your congregation. Ladies, there's things you can do. Fellowship meal. You see a mom with two children trying to get plates. Go carry one of the plates. Go take one of the children. Help out. Get yourself involved. Do something for them. Offer to go clean for a new mother. Or maybe you show up at their house on a Friday and say, "Hey, I'm here to clean your house for you." or show up to do their wash, or say, hey, what can I do for you today? There are many practical ways that we can bear one another's burdens. And you know what? It goes just beyond church life. It goes into the everyday areas of life as well. Men, be ready to volunteer for work projects. Maybe it's maintenance at the church or splitting wood for someone in the church. Have a car wash for the older ones. I remember as a youth we used to do that. Saturday we'd get together and some of the older ones of the ministry would get their cars and wash it for them. And just little ways that you can bear one another's burdens. You know what? We look on the things of others by making their problems our problems. By making what is big in their lives important to you. But that takes knowing someone. It takes having a relationship with them to know what is big in their lives. But we put ourselves in their shoes and try to see what they are facing. Last of all, youth contribute to congregational life by faithfully carrying on the faith. Youth are the church of today, and it's the church of tomorrow. And there are pretty many churches in the little town of Tyrone. I forget the number, but there's quite a number of churches. But most of those churches, if you would walk in on a Sunday morning, you would see just a handful of people that are 60 and older. I'm going to say 50 and older. And there's not a one youth in that group. That's a dying church. It's a dying congregation. Do you know what? God has plans for you. If you submit to His will, God can use you. You can contribute to your congregation by being willing to go where God calls you to. And allow God to work in your life. When I was sitting where you are, I would have never dreamed that I would be standing up here. But you know what? The church needs leaders. The church needs people to preach the gospel. The church needs deacons. The church needs bishops. And our bishops today, they're not going to last forever. New people need to continue to carry on the work. And that's a way that you can contribute to your congregation. Well, there is a blessing awaiting every one of you that contributes to the church and congregational life. Those that are willing to give up of themselves for the sake of the church. And many times to do that, there needs to be a decision made between something that is good and okay versus something that is better. We talked about in the beginning about when we have a kingdom-focused living, and suddenly when we have to choose between that volleyball game and helping someone in the church, suddenly it becomes a decision between which kingdom I'm going to invest in. Playing volleyball is not wrong. I remember having many good volleyball games. I love playing volleyball. And it's not wrong. But it becomes wrong when it becomes our God. And when that takes precedence over investing in the kingdom of God. And so we need to step back and live with a kingdom focus. May the Lord bless you as you contribute to the church and congregational life by allowing God to work in your life. May the Lord bless you.